that in Mark 9:23, how that he told Jesus, you know, if you can do anything, he said, help us, talking about for his son, because he had brought him to his disciples. They couldn't cast the devil out. And he said, and if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus put it back on the man, and he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe, right? So we have to get that down on the inside of us, because your body at times is going to tell you it's impossible. You know, the world sometimes is going to tell you it's impossible. Sometimes your bank account, your finances is going to tell you it's impossible. But if we can believe it, it's already there. Because if it wasn't already there, then you really couldn't have faith for it. You understand what I'm saying? There is that thing that's fake. I've thought I heard something from God before and was trying to believe something, but it really wasn't there. So if you have faith for it, true faith of God for it, means it's already there, it's already been provided, but by faith takes it. Now, we talked about how that in Philippians 4, in verse 13, he says, I can, and that was the Apostle Paul talking, he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in. See, we learn it by going through it. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Some Christians kind of have the idea that once you get born again, all the goodness of God, all the blessing of God, all the finances you need, all the health, everything just kind of falls on you. And how many knows that doesn't happen? We live in a fallen world with a real devil and real choices and real flesh that we have to deal with. But he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I have been there to the point to where there's been things in my life I felt like and had the thoughts, I just can't do it. Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes it looks like that. And in ourselves, we can't. The Bible says we can do all things how? Through Christ, the anointed one, not talking about Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, he says, that strengthens us. So we're not looking to do this stuff that we've been talking about for 5 weeks now or five sessions in our own strength. We're not talking about just mustering up some willpower. We're talking about Holy Ghost power. God, the Spirit of God helping us. Amen? So we must have that on the that word on the inside of us, because there's going to be things that comes up that it feels like you can't do it. It looks like you can't do it. And in yourself, you can't, right? I mean, sure, there's some things we can quit doing or start doing or whatever, you know, just by choice. But then there's others we can't. It takes the power of God to help us and strengthen us. Now, we talked about in Ephesians in chapter 2, he says, by grace we are saved. How? Through faith. Grace is what's given to us. God did all of that, not because we deserved it, but because he's that good. But it takes faith to access the grace that's been done, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, that's how everybody, if you're born again, that's exactly how you got born again. Somehow or another, you heard the word about salvation, you believed it in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth, and bam, supernatural salvation came, right? And you was right then changed on the inside. But this outside, and a lot of this thinking, did not get born again. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says for us to renew our mind with the word of God. He says, be transformed. What's that mean? Become another person. How? By being born again? Sure, now I have a nature change, but now I've got to take the word and renew this mind. Why? Because it still has its old thinking patterns. It did not get born again. And it will still think however it thinks until I take the word and I renew it. Now, the Spirit of God helps us. He'll reveal the word of God to us, give us revelation. We get it by reading it, by meditating on the scriptures and things like that. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, then the Bible talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's that mean? I've quoted that before to Scotty, being upset at him when he'd be telling me something. I'd be like, the Bible says work out your own salvation. Mind your own business. That's not what that means. That's a wrong interpretation and misuse of Scripture, just to let you know. That means the salvation that took place on the inside of my spirit needs to be worked out in my mind, my soul, where my will, my emotions is, and all of that, where I decide things, and even into the point to where this physical body. Because in case y'all hadn't noticed, this body will do whatever you let it do. And it does not want to do the will of God according to Scripture. So we talked about all of that. The Bible says, I believe it's in Colossians, it says, the same way that you received Jesus, walk you in him. How is that? Everything by his grace has been provided for us. The Bible says he's already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, right? So there's nothing left out. It says he'll supply all of our needs, right? Physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is that we need, he will supply. But that's grace, but faith, it takes faith to access it. Now, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, how that no temptation has overtaken us but that which is common to man. And with every temptation, he says, God will make a way of escape. But now you'll hear some people say this verse, and they'll say, the Bible says God won't put any more on you than you can bear. That is not what that says. God's not the one doing it. If God is the one doing it, surely we don't want to resist it, right? But that's not what he says. God is not the one doing it. He says God, with every temptation, will make a way of escape, right? So that means there's no donut I can't say no to. There's no amount of men that I can't say no to, or women nowadays. In other words, there's nobody in that arena that I can't say no to, right? There's nothing that I can't say no to. And there's nothing that I should be doing that I'm not, that I can't say yes to, right? Thank you, Monty. Right? See, if we don't get this in us, we talked about when we first started this, grace and truth. And I told y'all you're going to have to get real honest with yourself. Why? Because I make excuses if I'm not honest with myself why I am where I am. But see, the truth is, or the facts is, I am wherever I am physically because of my choices. I'm talking about being overweight or underweight, whatever that is. I am wherever I am financially because of my choices. You can make $10,000 a week, get paid on Friday, and you are flat broke on Monday morning. And it's not because you had a lack of money. It's because you had a lack of self-control. So see, I am where I am, the result of my choices. You are the result of your choices. Now, I know sometimes the devil attacks us, different things like that, or we are married to somebody that we shouldn't be married, or causing us problems. I'm not saying that. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? But even in those situations, you can overcome and you can come out. They can be turned around. We talked about it in Proverbs 18:14. The Amplified Bible says it's the strong spirit of a man that causes him, that sustains him in his weaknesses and in his infirmities. We talked about how that Matthew 26:39-41, Jesus told him to pray with him. Then he comes back and they're asleep. He says, can't you pray with me 1 hour? He says, truly the spirit is willing. What that means is that you've been born again. Your spirit is always inclined or endeavoring to seek after and do the will of God at all times. But it's your flesh that don't want to. So the weakness is in the flesh. Now, the flesh and the spirit is opposed at all times, according to Galatians 5. I'm trying to recap just a little bit so we can get on to where I believe the Lord wants us to go this morning. Let's look now at, I think it's the one Johnny called heavy maybe. 1 Corinthians 6. For time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There's some people out there, they think they can live just as close to the world and for the devil as they want to, and you're still going. You're still going to be rewarded. You're still going to receive all the blessings. That's not so. He says here, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, which would be homosexuals or lesbians, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. See, you used to be that person. So when you're doing those things, right, whenever you do those things later, that's not you. You're being who you're not. You understand that? He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's where every one of us is supposed to be. Every one of us, the Bible says, has been bought with a price. We're slaves unto Christ, the Apostle Paul said. Not that he makes us, we make ourselves. We owe him absolutely everything, right? And everything is not good for me to do. There's something that maybe is not sin to me, but it's really just not good for me. So therefore, I don't want to do it, right? Don't need to be doing it. He says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? You hear people say, well, what does it matter, you know, sex between two consenting adults? Well, this scripture right here tells us what it matters, right? It matters a lot. It's not okay. I don't care if you're in your 20s, both of you are 20s, and you're consenting according to the scripture, it's not okay. So therefore, we can't be doing it. And if we have a desire to do it, we need to be getting it changed, right? He says, verse 20, he says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Some people will say, well, you know, you need to just talk to us about spiritual matters. I am. He says here that we are to glorify. And I looked up that word. Let me read it right quick. The word glorify there means to render glorious, magnify, and honor. So I'm supposed to be bringing honor and glory and magnification to the Lord with my spirit and even with my body. And if I'm not, then I need to be working toward the process of getting that changed. I can't do it in myself. He's not asking me to do it in myself. But how many knows, sometimes you got to be working on things. Like I said, I have to be honest with me. I can't just make the excuse, well, you know, my grandmother was that way, therefore my mama was that way, therefore that's why I'm that way, like Scotty used his little Indian bit. You know, he has a bad temper, you know, he's an angry man because he's an Indian. I bet there was some happy Indians, Johnny, don't you imagine? He's just a quarter or half, whatever he is, you know, angry Indian. Indian has nothing to do with that. And the thing about it is, anger and temper problems do not go along with Christianity. No, they are totally the opposite of one another. The Bible says that in Galatians, 5 or 6, that it tells about the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is what? Love, joy, peace, temperate. The word temperate there means self-controlled. It means I'm never out of control of myself. Never out of control of myself in my spending. Never out of control of myself in my eating. Never out of control into anger, right? Do you realize that anger is right in there when he talks about the works of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh? Anger's right in there with adultery and fornication and sorcery. Yeah, bad company. So we don't want to be doing it. I don't want to be doing it. And just so happens, I still have not. The Lord is helping. I'm telling you, the Lord is helping Teresa. Now, we was on our little trip, and your pastor back there, which was Scotty at the time. See, when we're not here, he's Scotty to me. He's not my pastor. He only gets to do that here. Anyway, I'm trying to, and I told the Lord before I went, because every now and then I've noticed me and him, it's like something just comes, and it's real hard for me and him to get along. And I told the Lord on our trip, before we went on our trip, I said, help me, Lord. You said the humble get the grace. I need grace, God. I need help, Lord. And your word says, God, only by pride and contention comes strife and division. I said, help me, Lord, be humble. No matter what happens, to be humble. Well, something had happened and I couldn't do it. I needed him to help me do it or whatever. Well, then we're leaving and he's sitting in the truck doing nothing. But anyway, I'm trying to lock the door. My hands are full. I'm trying to lock the door. I can't get the door locked. And he says, can't you do anything? Hit me in the top of my head. I thought, are you serious? What is this? You can do everything at home by yourself, but you can't do nothing here. Now, he says he was kidding, but he didn't say that before he said all that. Kidding or not, it still hit me in the top of my head, and I wanted to say something. And instantly, I thought, just agree with him. Be humble. I said, yeah, you're probably right. That was the end of that. Then he said, I was just messing with you. I was just kidding. Now, whether he was or not, I don't know, and it don't matter. If he's lying, he's the one in trouble for it. Why am I saying all that? Because the Lord will help us. But when he reminds us of what we prayed or reminds us of what the Word said, now we have a choice. He is not going to just do it for us. I could have turned around and blacked his eye. Now, I might have got a black one, and we'd both be at church with two black eyes. And we wouldn't even have to tell y'all what happened. Y'all would know, right? But thank you, Lord, he helps us. No matter what it is, he helps us. If we look to him. Now, let's go over to, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 23, again, it says, "Ye are bought with a price," he says, "be not servants of men, but servants of God." Now, I think I might want to, no, I don't think I want to go to that. Maybe I do. Let me look at this right quick, see if that's where I want to go to. Because some of this I have read and some I hadn't, and I can't remember exactly all of the ones that I have. This is the one. Yeah, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God." We know that without faith it is impossible to please God, right? According to Hebrews 11, 6. It says, "So you would abound more and more." That means we don't stay the same, right? "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence," however you say that, "even as the Gentiles, which know not God." Now listen in the Amplified verse 4. It says that each one of us should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from things profane and honor, not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen. And when you hear that word lust, don't just think sexually. You can lust after a donut. I've done it. Lust means strong desire. He says not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen, who are ignorant of the true God and knowledge of his will. But notice that verse 4. He says that every one of us should know how to possess his own vessel. He's talking about this body. He says in sanctification, in purity. He doesn't say God's going to possess it or God's going to control it. He wants to control it, but we have to yield to him, right? The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God in everything that we do or that even we don't do. So we're supposed to know how to control our vessel. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. We're fixing to go to where we haven't been yet. Hang on. Now, we read this last week. If that's okay, we're going to read it again today. I'm trying to do just a little bit of recap before we go further. We're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, for time's sake, verse 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" How many knows the Bible refers to our life with God as being a Christian as a race, right? The Apostle Paul said, "I have run my race. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He says here, "But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." We're not just running, right? It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." It means he's self-controlled. He disciplines himself in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body." Who does it? Who's the eyes talking about? The man on the inside, you, right? Me. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Listen in Acts 5, verse 26. He says, "Therefore I do not run uncertainly, without definite aim." You got to know where you're going, right? He says, "without definite aim." He says, "I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary, but like a boxer, I buffet," that's not buffet, it's buffet, "my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships." Now, that goes back to what he said over there when he says, "I have learned," right? "In whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." He's saying here, "I discipline it by hardships." You're never going to grow, and you're never going to develop without hardships. See, we love those mountaintop experiences when the devil's not coming at us, our kids are acting upright, you know, we got things going pretty good, all our bills are paid. You're not growing and developing then. right? You better be getting ready then. Why? Because he may not have his finger on something in your life right now, but it's coming. Y'all remember when I told you, the Lord talks to me the way I talk to him. He knows how I understand things. That I prayed and said, Lord, expose the cockroaches in my life. If y'all ain't never noticed, cockroaches, unless you got them really bad, they don't come out too much in the daylight where you can see them. But go in the kitchen to get you a drink of water in the middle of the night, and they'll be in the floor. They'll be. We lived in one place one time. We moved in there. Oh, nice house. Moved in there. I'm telling you, they are in the daytime, Sandy. They're crawling on the ceilings. They're on the walls. They're on the floors. Oh, God, it was awful. But see, most of the time, the things in our lives, they're not out there for everybody to see. And we don't even see them sometimes, those that get hidden real good, until he puts his finger on them. So if you're on the mountaintop and not having no problems, get ready. Get full of the Word. Be prayed up. Be full of the Spirit of God. Why? Because you can't stay there. God's going to make sure we don't stay there. Why? Because he said, I discipline my body. How? By hardships. So God, that tells me God wants every one of us to have hardship. I didn't say God creates it necessarily, but he wants us to have hardship. The Bible says that hardship or trials is a chisel in the hand of God in Proverbs. What's that mean? God is making a sculpture out of you of his son. So he takes hardships and it's like ping, 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 ping. Y'all ever seen somebody do an ice sculpture? Now they even do big old long chainsaws. I mean, they do these beautiful sculptures out of chainsaws. What's he doing? Everything that's not like Christ has got to come off. Why? The Bible says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's who he's looking for. He's not looking for me. He's looking for himself, right? So he says, I buffet my body, I discipline it by hardships, and subdue it. In other words, it does what I tell it to do. For fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit. Not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. Some things will disqualify you from ministry. Some things will disqualify you from some of the blessing. The Bible says that we cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons at the same time. It doesn't work, right? So I've got to figure out which one I want to drink from. The Bible says in James, he says fresh water and salt water doesn't come from the same fountain. So what fountain am I going to stay hooked up to, right? Because, see, I can't be hooked up to the wrong fountain, the flesh, the enemy, and have goodness coming out of me. It's just not going to happen. Now, we looked at 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, where we read over there that bodily exercise profits a little, but godly exercise profits in every way. Why? Because if you just do your bodily exercise and never work on your spirit growing and developing, that's all you get, that little bit of body exercise. But how many knows exercising in the spirit to ourselves to godliness will help us in every area, will help us in the natural, will help us in the financial, will help us in the spiritual, all of it. Now, I'm trying to figure out where I want to go here. Let's do Luke 14. Luke 14, and I'm going to start reading for time's sake in 25. This is title in my Bible, says The Cost of Discipleship. I believe we read this one last week. It says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children. Now that word hate, when you look it up, it means just love less than him. It wouldn't be hate like what men you might would think today. And brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We're not called to be converts. We're called to become disciples. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross. Now, you might be going along good, but sometime or another in your life, your will is going to come across God's will. And God has to be the one that wins every time. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not what? Oh, that's heavy, Johnny. That's heavy. That means in comparison, if I compare God and Scotty, Scotty loses every time. If I compare Travis and God, Travis loses every time. If I compare something I want and God wants something different, I lose every time. Now, I understand what I'm saying, like Johnny says, is heavy. It's a lot. Because he says that forsakes not all. See, whatever has a hold on you has a tendency to take you away from God. But if there's no handle for the devil to get a hold of, if there's no yielding to the flesh, he has nothing. Do you remember Jesus said, the wicked one cometh, but he has no place in me. What did Jesus say? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I did not come to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Therefore, there was nothing there of the flesh that Jesus ever yielded to that the devil could use to get him out of the will of God. God wants us at the same place. And he's not expecting us to do it by ourselves. We can't. Y'all understand we couldn't. That's why the law came. Just to show us how bad we really was and that we needed him. Well, we can't do it without him now, even though we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And that's exactly how grace by faith is how we're going to do it. So he says, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. He goes on, salt is good, but if it's lost its Savior, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's look at Luke 6, since we're here in 14. I think I want to read verse 40. It says, the disciple is not above his master. It's read, Jesus talking. But everyone that is what? Perfect shall be as his master. Now, the Amplified says it this way. A pupil is not superior to his teacher. But everyone, when he is completely trained. To me, that helps me than just say the word perfect. Because usually when I say the word perfect, I'm thinking completely flawless. That's not what he means. He says, is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. So anytime, and I have said it myself, anytime you hear this, well, nobody's perfect. That's a cop-out. That's one of those that I was talking about when we first got started. That is an excuse for you to be the way you are. Because he says here, if you're going to be like him, you're going to be what? Perfect. You're going to be readjusted. You're going to become trained. Right? So that means we're all going somewhere. You didn't get born again and you got it all and you're just this some mighty man or woman of God, man of power for the hour. No, absolutely not. This will not stop till he comes. But the Bible says if we do, when he comes, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're just like him. Spirit, soul, and body. Right? Now, look at, I got another one here in Luke. I ain't noticed. 17. Luke 17. So don't ever let the devil let that come out of your mouth. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, evidently Jesus thought we could be. Right? Because he calls us to be just like him. Evidently God thought we could be. Now that won't mean, what that means is kind of like, don't let that throw you, kind of like a baby. A baby's born, you look at it, you know, and you say, oh, it's just perfect. Why? Well, it's got two eyes and two ears and 10 fingers and 10 toes. But if you start examining that baby probably with a magnifying glass like Travis, I don't know if y'all have ever, he's got one eye like shaped like mine and he's got one eye shaped like Scotty. When he went to school, they tested him because they thought something was wrong with his eyes. But the only thing it is the shape of it. So how many knows? That's not perfection. One of Scotty's ears is a little lower. Now, I don't have any imperfections. Just kidding. I'm Christ-like. One of Scotty's ears, y'all heard the story, is a little bit lower than the other. What's that mean? That's not perfection, but he has two ears. You know, he doesn't have two heads. He has two ears. So what would we say? Oh, I mean, he's okay. He's normal. Well, that's the same way the Lord is with us. He didn't say there that you're completely flawless. He said, but you have become trained and disciplined now. Right? Do y'all understand what he's saying there? Okay. And what did I tell y'all, Luke 17? Okay. Let's see here. Verse, for time's sake, verse 32, I think I want to start. He says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, listen in the Amplified. He says, remember Lot's wife, 33. Whoever tries to preserve his life will lose it. What's he talking about? This natural carnal life. If that's all you're going to go after and that's the one you're trying to protect, you're going to lose that. It says, but whoever loses his life, all of that, will preserve and quicken it. Now look at Matthew 16, verse 22. It says, then Peter took him, and this is where, Peter rebukes him. He says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Notice this, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What's he saying there? Peter, you're not concerned about the will of God. You're just concerned how this is going to affect you. He says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That means you're going to have to be disciplined, right? If you're going to deny yourself something. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life the second time shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He says, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This life we're living is not the only one we have to be concerned about. This is going to end real quick. If you live to be 120, compared to eternity, that's a snap. The Bible calls it a vapor. It says, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his what? Works. The Bible says, faith without what? Works is dead. He says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. And here, verse 24, Amplified. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest. And take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal, that would be your natural, this life here, life, is comfort and security here, shall lose it, eternal life. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it, his life everlasting. Now let's look at... Let's see, what was that, Matthew 16? Let's look at Matthew 10. Verse 37, for time's sake. Jesus talking again, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I've brought this up before because this is a big thing, especially in denominations, a lot of times. I go there because my family goes there. Talking about going where you go to church. How many knows, according to Scripture, God has a place for everybody in the body. And it's our job to find out where we're supposed to be. Why? Because God knows what he needs to put in you. God knows the people that he's got that needs to put stuff in you, and you need to put in them, and the ministry you need. And he knows all of that, right? So according to Scripture, he has a place for every person. That's our job to find out. But a lot of people, because mama, because daddy, because granny, because great-grandfather, they built the church.
going.
They'll go on and they'll bypass what the Word says to do the traditions of men. Because Mama might get mad if I don't go there. See, my nephew Jeffrey, he comes here. Now, Scotty used to go pick him up on the bus when they were real little. My sister and them didn't serve God at the time and everything. My sister and them, you know, sometimes years ago, they went around, you know, seeing, trying to find out where they needed to be and everything. I never one time, I wanted to. Why? Because I wanted them here. Why? They're my family. I love them, you know. Would love for them to be here. But never one time did I ever tell them, y'all supposed to be here. But do you know when I was a baby Christian, I got some of that from another Christian, from a family member, and so did Scotty. They both of them told us, well, we believe God, y'all be over here at our church. Their church was 5-10 minutes from our house maximum, and we was driving 40 to 45 minutes to Hansville from, y'all know that little log cabin down there? From Berry Mountain Road, in other words. 3 times a week, you know. And they told us, well, we believe, you know, because we're family and everything, and we need y'all over here, that God's going to send y'all over here. That could have messed me up, Johnny. But I have the Spirit of God on the inside of here, and there just wasn't something right with that. And I didn't know what, but how many knows? We could have went right on with that, bypassed the Word of God, be completely out of the will of God, and may have fell away on the count of it. I don't know. It's important that we are wherever God puts us. He says that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Are mom and daddy trying to talk you into doing something that you know you're not supposed to do? Y'all not saying nothing. Are your kids or your husband or your wife trying to talk you into doing something you know you're not supposed to do? Why did Adam get in trouble? He was not deceived. She was. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but I mean, just thinking, you know, he might have could have been thinking, you, well, I don't want to be left out, you know. I want to be with her. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he did what he did. I know she became deceived. And he was right there. It ain't like, Adam, could you come over here? The Bible don't say she called him. The Bible says she gave it to him, and he did eat it. But why did he do it? Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say here? I can't love Scotty. I can't love my mama. I can't love my kid. I can't love anybody more than I love him. Because if I do, then and whenever his will crosses my will or their will, I'm going to go with them. And then I'm going to end up shipwrecked if I'm not careful. And it doesn't mean I'm supposed to hate him. It's just when it comes to him, there can be nobody before him. And he taketh not his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now that's what, about 4 times we've read that same verse in the same different place. Excuse me. The Bible says in Romans 8:6 in the Amplified, it says, the mind of the flesh is sense and reason without the Spirit of God. Do you realize that's exactly what Eve done? She had the Word. Don't we have the Word? She had the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord to her through Adam, because she wasn't there of the first that God gave it. Through Adam was, we don't eat of this tree. We can eat of any other tree here in the garden. And it was probably huge. I imagine they had every kind of variety of fruit known to man at the time. Said, we can eat of any of this out here, but we can't eat of that one. And when the devil came, the Bible says when the serpent came over there in Genesis chapter 3, it says, what did he come doing? I don't remember. We need to go look at it. She told him what God said. He said, you can eat it. She said, no, we can't. Now I'm paraphrasing. No, we can't. Why? God said the day we eat of that, lest we touch it. Now, she added that little bit. Lest we touch it. Now, that goes to show you, that's kind of like Joseph, run. Lest we touch it, we'll die. What's he say? You surely shall not die. The mind of sense and reason without the Spirit of God. She had the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but what he come? Sense and reason. You won't die. You won't become the size of a cow, Sandy, if you eat this pie at 2 o'clock. Sure, not that piece of pie, or not that pie, but the next time the flesh says, it's never enough. It's never enough. You gave me that pie today, I want pie tomorrow. You bought that brand new car today. I want a different brand new car next week. I want a brand new motorcycle. Nothing about y'all's motorcycles. Y'all would probably be surprised at how many Christians go and splurge on Christmas, on credit cards, and then their lights are cut off the week after Christmas. How many knows that's stupid going to see? I thought one time it was getting so close I wasn't going to have money to buy my family Christmas or anything like that, and usually, you know, I do. And that hurts. I mean, you love people. You want to give them gifts, you know. And it's tradition, you know. We can't, God forbid, we break any kind of tradition around here. You know, that's just awful. You don't get somebody a present for Christmas for Jesus' birthday? Makes you feel bad. So I couldn't. At the time, and it didn't look like anything was going to change. And this was like days before Christmas. So I sat down, and I asked the Lord to help me, and I wrote a letter to all the family members that I would have bought a present for, and I wrote them a letter. And I told them, you know, there was one of them sick. If I could give you a well body, I would. You know, just on and on and on. I mean, by the time I got done, I'm like, that was good, Lord. And sure enough, just a couple of days before Christmas, a little money come in, and I was able to get them all some little something, you know. Why do I say that? Because, see, we override what we know in here to do, or what we know up here is the wise thing. The Bible says we have the wisdom of God, and if we're lacking it, ask Him. And if He says, don't buy presents on the credit card, don't. You may feel bad because that's what everybody just about does, but how many knows? They'll get over it. You'll get over it, especially when you're not sitting in the dark. It'll feel real good to you. Now, I don't know where in the world all that's coming from, but anyway, don't be doing all that. I guess because Christmas is coming up. Just a few months, it'll be Christmas. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Not good for you. We've got a couple minutes here. So it's sense and reason without the Spirit of God is what the flesh is. Because see, He kept talking to her. He told her, He said, surely you shall not die. But God knows in the day that you eat of this or partake of this, you're going to become like God. She couldn't get no more like God than what she was already, and neither could Adam. But whenever that sense and reason got to work, the Bible says she began to look at it. See, the devil knows there's a principle in the Word of God. You become what you behold, good or bad. Very reason why the Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Y'all teenagers really better pay attention. Because see, the whole course of your life could change in an instant. One wrong choice could send you to prison for the rest of your life. One wrong choice. After midnight, I told Travis, ain't nothing good happen after 10, get to his house. After midnight could take your life. And it wasn't God that done it. He will receive you, but He didn't take you. One wrong choice could cut your life short. One wrong, one wrong hookup could change the course of your life forever. And adults too. It's just a lot of times the Bible talks about, and they don't like to think this or whatever, how that teenagers or youth are a little more susceptible during those times to the enemy. That's why the Bible says, don't put a new convert into an office, lest he become puffed up with pride, the very reason why the devil fell. So you can take a good person, loves the Lord, and put them to hanging out with bad people. Kind of like this. You take a white person, and you raise them in a black family. Y'all ever tried to hear me talk like black people? It's awful. Why? I got too much country hick. They don't talk like that. Yeah. Or you take a person and they start listening to a certain kind of music. And they'll be like, yo, 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 you know, whatever stuff like that. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Whatever you behold, that's what you become. That's why the Bible says that we are to behold Him. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says in Proverbs, He said, don't get sidetracked or don't get distracted. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Why? There's all kinds of distractions out here in this world. I ain't got time to be hanging out with bad people. Don't mean I don't love them. Don't mean I don't want them saved, but I'm on a different road going somewhere. Travis, he used to want to hang out with his cousins and friends. friends, and his curfew was, I think, he had to be home by 11, so that means most time where he was at or whatever, he had to leave by 10 or 10:30, you know. And he asked me one time, Mom, don't you think you could make it 12? I said, no, son. I said, nothing good happens after 10. I said, okay, what are you going to do? Well, they already, him and Beth, are going to Mama's to stay 4 hours because they ain't got nowhere to go, and he didn't have no money, and they had to make him a little picnic supper, whatever, you know. I said, okay, where would you go? What are you going to do? Well, he thought about it a minute. He said, I'd just leave it like it is. But see, the mind will tell you. It'll tell you, you need this and you need that. No, you don't. You need Jesus and you need his word. Absolutely. I got to stop because actually we're a little past time and I still didn't get where I was going. But we did start getting into it. Does anybody